Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, step right up. Behind this curtain lies a ghastly concoction of delight, horror, fantasy, and terror. Your every wish is our command. Your every whimsical desire brought to life. But I'm warning you, there's always a price. Welcome to the greatest show on earth!
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the Kurt and Jeff Show. I'm Kurt.
I'm Jeff, and welcome to the fat motherfucker sitting next to me in the Jeff Show.
You're just jealous.
Whatever. What, are you being a fat motherfucker?
Yeah, I still look better than you do.
Don't.
Oh, we just got off work. Got to piss off Carl again. That was fun today. Fucker come up to me and
I just hate everybody there.
But me. You love me.
No, I don't. I hate you, you fat fucker.
Oh, we didn't talk about it either. I had to do an intervention for him and Carl a couple of days ago.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Carl pissed him off bad. I can't blame him. I mean, it was...
It wasn't an intervention. It was a Kurt's too fucking lazy to do my job, too.
Hell yeah. That was the first thing I said to him, too, when I took him into his office. I was like, look, you know, I was like, I don't give a shit about Jeff. I don't care if you fire him, he quits, or whatever. I was like, I just don't want to do his job.
Any great fucking friend. Stupid fat fuck.
But no, he kept coming over watching you, and then he'd come up and tell you, you know, hurry up, you know, you're behind, you need to go faster. But he wouldn't tell you how to go faster.
Yeah, he'd come up with his little fucking Etch-A-Sketch notepad thing, mm-hmm. Sticks it in my face, telling me how long the job should have taken and how long I'm taking. And I just gave him a glare and went back to work. I didn't say a word.
And like I say, he knows that that pisses us off. I mean, I don't think he knew it at the time, but he'll go through and like figure out our whole schedule, exactly how long it should take and all this stuff.
We're talking, this job should only take you 5.46 hours, and you've taken 6.21 hours.
Yeah, he'll figure out that detail down to the minute, when you should be done. But he doesn't take into consideration our breaks, our you know, bathroom breaks, stuff like that. You know,
we're big guys, we poop a lot.
Yeah, and you know, Jeff's got some medical issues and stuff, so that plays into effect, too. Some days he just doesn't feel like going that fast. I'm the same way.
Some days I can't go that fast.
And Carl's just like that, too. I mean, there's some days he'll just go in his office and lay down and, you know, sleep. So,
Kitty.
He bitches
at him. Get him, kitty.
Yeah, the little cat's up here playing with me. look at the back of my head. What the fuck?
It's like having a woman sit on your shoulders.
I got half a Woody off that. That was kind of cool. I like this cat.
You better not take my cat and peanut butter up there in the bathroom, Kurt. That's just... You fucker. That's probably on your bucket list, isn't it?
No.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah, this whole episode is going to be our Jesus freak years and some of the stuff that's on our bucket list, what we've crossed off, what we haven't. But anyway, after Carl left, just pissed. He's ready to go home. I mean, he came up to me and he's like, yeah, I'm ready to just walk out, clock out, and go home.
That was after I hit a case with a hammer and completely demolished it in one hit.
I saw it from across the room. I mean, he just destroyed the shit, and I was like, nah, he's pissed.
I was pissed.
And just last week...
What the hell you got on the back of your head? The cat keeps licking it.
I don't know. And just last week, you and Carl and Alan all had a sit-down meeting, and Alan told Carl to leave you alone, leave us alone.
Yes,
let us do our jobs.
Yes, he did. And did Carl?
Mm-mm.
No.
So, one of the things I always say about Carl, I mean, everything he tells us to do and stuff out there, in his mind, he believes he's helping. You know, he's not trying to screw us over. I really think he's trying to help us. He just goes about it the wrong way.
Carl is not a people person.
No. So I went up to him. I was like, you know, give me a minute.
I found out today how he got his promotion, too.
Oh, how?
It was by necessity.
Oh.
When,
So I haven't heard this story yet.
When Alan moved the one, when he moved the...
Shop from Goshen?
Shop from Goshen over to here, he said he had like 80% of his force quit, which included supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Carl was hired in as a float, so he could do all the jobs. He knew all the jobs in there. Well, when they came over, he didn't have anybody, so he had no choice but to promote him.
Oh. So I didn't know about that. But, so I told Carl, I was like, you know, hey, I need to talk to you in your office, and, you know, we go into his office and stuff, and sit down. And I mean, like I said, first off, I told him I didn't give a shit about Jeff, so he knew that up front.
Yeah, but I don't give a fuck about you either, you fat fuck.
But I said, no, I told him, I was like, look, you know, don't just come in there and hang in a corner and watch us. That's creepy. I was like, you know.
We don't like that.
Yeah. I'm like,
I was in prison, I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't think he knows I've been in prison yet. I don't think Alan's told him.
Oh, we should launch that one on him.
Mm-hmm. Just waiting for an opening for it. But I told him, I was like, look, don't just be creepy in the corner. I understand, you know, it's part of your job. You got to watch and see what we're doing, help us out, make some improvements. But walk up to us and say, hey, you know, I'm going to see what you're doing over here, maybe help you out a little bit. You know, tell us, stand there right next to us and watch us. Don't just, you know, be creepy. And then I told him, I was like, you know, one thing with Jeff, you keep telling him to go faster, but you're not showing him how to do it. Right. I was like, sit down and, you know, show him some of the shortcuts, some of the stuff that you know. I know he did show you how to do them 6 lids at a time or whatever up there, and that sped you up some. I was like, show him that.
That sped me up a lot.
And I knew one of the things you were bitching about that day, when you're putting them together, they kept splintering out. So I specifically mentioned that to him. I said, you know, I don't know if he's hitting the boxes too hard. I was like, maybe make him a fixture up there that's perfectly square. They can put it in there and hit it down so it don't splinter. And I guess he come up with, you're trying to build too many at a time, the glue's weakening the wood.
Yeah, because the wood, as soon as it gets moisture, it starts to swell.
Mm-hmm.
And I was building 3 cases at a time. And he said that the glue sits on the wood too long, so by the time I get to that 3rd one, it's soft. Mm-hmm. So when I hit it, then it just fucking mushes splinters. So he said, build them. He said, put glue on all of them, but build them one at a time. You can go quicker if you build them one at a time. And it worked.
Yeah, like I said, that's something we...
It worked for that order. Now, the next order, I had to do the same thing and did that, and it took me fucking forever to get it done.
And that's the same thing. I mean, that's stuff that, you know, we didn't know, we didn't figure out, that stuff that, you know, he could come over and say, okay, that's right.
We've been doing it, like, 22 years.
Yeah. So, that helps. And like I said, I told him, you know, just some of the minor stuff, I was like, you know, don't tell him that... I told him not to tell you about how, you know, the times and stuff. I was like, that just annoys the shit out of both of us.
I was like, you know, quit doing that.
We know what time it is, we know how long it should take, we know how to figure it out. Just, you know, come up and tell us, say, hey, you know, you're...
Well, that's what Alan told them. Alan told them the week before, they know what they're doing. They've both been back there long enough that they know what they're doing. They know how to figure out their times. You don't need to tell them how long they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
They can figure it out on themselves. Just let them be.
Mm-hmm.
He said, let them figure out what's the quickest way for them to do it. If you know a shortcut, then tell them. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he used Jesus as an example because Jesus double stacks. He does something and stacks them. Does something else instead of just doing them fucking both at once.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and we've told him, I don't know how many times, he still does it. Now we just leave him alone and let him fucking do it. He says, do the same thing with them. They're going to do it their way. May not be the way you like it, but let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a shortcut, go ahead and tell them, but don't harp on them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay.
And like I said, one good thing, Alan come out there and with, you know, me and you sitting right there, and he went over everything with me because I wasn't in for that meeting. And he told me, he's like, you know, one of the things he pointed out for me is, like, the boxes where I cut extra parts. He said, start, put a piece of paper on there. Every time you pull a part out of that box for an order, you write the date down on there. Every time you cut extra parts, you write the date down that you cut those parts and put it in the box. Right. That way they can see, you know, if I'm doing 4 or 5 orders between cutting parts, that's saving time.
Right.
He's like, now don't overdo it and have, you know, boxes everywhere. And I was like, I don't. You know, I got one table basically, you know, set up with boxes.
And that's what you were doing today, and he got
mad. And that's
mad
what
about.
I was doing today. Carl got all pissed off today about it. He come up, I was cutting mouthpieces, and I just did 2 orders, and I had enough on my box to pull the all mine. I'd have to cut any of them. I had a 3rd order that needed them. I'm going to start Monday.
Right.
So I went ahead and I grabbed like 250 mouthpieces, enough to cut for that, and I was over there drilling the mouthpieces, getting ready to cut them. He come over and saw that and threw a fit.
What? And Alan's told us before, if you got 3 orders, they told me the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, each week I get a sheet that they bring out and tells us what orders I'm doing, tells Kurt what orders he's doing. And if I got 2 or 3 things that are the same thing on a list of 7,
mm-hmm.
they said cut them all at once.
Yeah, saves time.
And it saves time because you're already cutting that, so everything's already set up on the saw for you. And then when it comes time to get that order, shit's ready to go.
So I'm sitting over there drilling. I got them all stacked up. The first thing Carl does, walks over, what order are you cutting for? I was like, well, it's three orders here. I was like, these last two I pulled out of my box. I was like, I'm refilling my box and cutting the third order. And he's like, well, how many parts do you have cut here? I was like, I don't know. I didn't count them. I was just, I cut four or five 2x4s down and started drilling. So he goes through and counts them up, and he's like, yes, 260 parts and all this. And he's like, how many times do I have to tell you? He's like, I tell you over and over, you just keep doing it. I looked him right in the face. I said, hey, this is the way Alan told me to do it. I was like, that's the way I'm going to do it. I was like, if you got a problem with that.
And said, and how many times you got to keep telling me, and you're going to find out I ignore you.
Yeah, you know. So he got mad, threw my paycheck down and walked away. And I didn't see him the rest of the day, so.
Well, shit, he didn't bring our checks out till 9:30 anyway.
Right. He came and got me this morning, fucking wanted me to change a light bulb. His ass is too afraid to go up in the cage.
I don't know why, because he's not going to fall at the fucking... If he falls, he's just going to fucking float like a feather down and shit.
Uh-huh. Our forklift got fucked up. The one next door broke, so they were using ours, and they're flooring it, and the hydraulics
are up.
Yeah, our hydraulics is going out on it.
We should take ours over there and fucking drop ours off and let them use that and take theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Fuckers.
So, he put me up in the cage, was lifting me up to change these light bulbs or whatever, and I pulled one out and handed it to him. He's walking across the shop with it. I walked right up to him. I said, you want to be careful with that. I was like, if you break it, there's shit in there that'll give you cancer. Just smiled at him. I'm a dick.
And for those of you just tuning in who haven't heard us,
mm-hmm.
Carl's got cancer, mm-hmm. So we're hoping it kicks in here pretty soon.
He's been getting better lately. Like I said, it was bad the first 2 years I was there. This year hasn't been bad at all for him.
Winter ain't here yet.
Yeah, like I said, winter will hit and he'll start getting sick. He'll be out there shoveling snow and everything else and
doing shit he ain't supposed to be doing.
Yep. So I guess we can get into our Jesus freak years and stuff. And like I said, I'll jump off on certain points about bucket list items and shit. I got a lot. Just I guess got two. He wants to go two places. Where do you want to go again? Scotland and England?
I've been to England. Japan. And Kurt's isn't a bucket list. Kurt's is a fuck it list. Everything on Kurt's list involves fucking something.
Yeah.
Something fucked up or dead or something like that, you sick.
No, I got a couple of bucket lists. One of the things on my bucket list is I want to kill somebody and get away with it. I want to go the whole Riddler route too, fucking leave a mark on them. I was thinking do a Manson swastika in their forehead when they're dead. But I know they get right back to it. As soon as somebody hears that, somebody got killed in the head of Manson swastika, that's me. So I have to figure something else out. Carve a K in their ass or something.
Sure, don't make it look like Psycho Jen did it.
Uh-huh. Well, like I said, we spent 45 minutes at work one day with me and Jeff. I was trying to convince him to help me kill Psycho Jen, push her off a roof. I did too.
He ain't shitting. He
did. 45 minutes. I was like, look, I had the plan. I had it all laid out.
45 minutes straight of me going, no, 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 Kurt. No.
It would have worked, though.
And now, you just put it out there that you want to kill someone and get away with it. So, automatic suspect.
I know.
If you're going to kill someone, set your goals up. Serial kill.
Well, I don't know if I want to go the whole serial killer route, because I'm not a violent person. I don't want to, kill a bunch of people.
Yes, you do.
Just one would be okay, so if I get away with it.
Uh-huh, sure.
Hit and run or something like that would be fun. But I don't want to fuck up my car. I'd have to borrow somebody's.
Never borrowing mine.
So, let's talk about the Jesus freak years. I know you went through it twice.
I wouldn't really call it twice. It was like a long one with a short little pause in the middle. But believe it or not, especially after listening to this show a few times, we were Jesus freaks.
Mm-hmm. You still believe in God?
Yeah. I believe in gods.
More than one, huh?
More than one.
Maybe. Sorry about all the noise in the background. He's crumpling up shit.
If you look back at a lot of the beliefs and the mythos of different cultures, they all kind of coincide with each other. That everything matches up, mm-hmm. and they all have their own version of a holy trinity. Just Christianity figure out how to promote themselves better than everybody else.
I think it became more of a moneymaker for them, and you know that's the thing. I mean, you got the Pope and the Catholics and all this stuff. I mean, they you know. It's all about the money and getting the people in there and the power.
Yeah.
Because
they're going to hear our show and fucking take us out, dude.
I'm telling you. We're going to have the Christians and the Muslims after us.
It's going to be your fucking fault.
Oh, well. But, yeah, I don't believe in any gods anymore. I mean, I honestly think it was something, you know, a long time ago. When we became conscious and started actually having, you know, knowing that we were going to die, we brought this up as a way to cope. I think it's a coping mechanism that, you know, it's just been passed on because every time, you know.
It's all true. God is an astronaut. Oz is over the rainbow.
Could be.
And the monsters live in Midian. Awesome fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
They just put a Blu-ray release of it out, too.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Cool.
About 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, again, I was raised Christian. I mean, my mom and dad was all big Jesus freaks and all that stuff. It started out, you know, when I was a kid, you know, all the way growing up till I was about 18 when I got out of it. But like I said, I was a Jesus freak. I went to church, you know, every Sunday, every Wednesday, anytime the doors were open, I was there. I mean, at one point, I got like a perfect attendance award for 5 years in a row or something like that. It's some weird shit. So, I mean, that's how I was raised. I just got to the point where it's like, you know, if there is a God, you know, at least a Christian God, I don't buy that. I think it's more, you know, if you look at the time in the Bible, you know, when Jesus was alive and all that stuff, you had angels coming down, you had miracles, you had dead people rising, you had all this stuff going on. You just don't see that nowadays. You know, what's changed? You know, if there was a God...
People with your point of view?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the whole point of it. It's like, you know, you had all these prophets and all this stuff going on back then. You don't have that nowadays.
You do, but people just write it off and call them crazy.
Well, most of the time they are. You got Waco and
all. Well, no one says they weren't crazy back then either.
Could have been.
Everything back then, they explained it the best they could. And Barbara brought this up. Mm-hmm. Back then, they explained it the best they could with what they knew. And if you look at the same things now, we have explanations for it. Mm-hmm. Either scientifically or it falls under their own, you know, paranormal UFOs and shit like that. Mm-hmm. You know, angels were aliens and shit. And honestly, my belief is, you know, you look up in the sky and you see all the stars, and it's just fucking pure arrogance to say we're it. We're mm-hmm. the only intelligent life out there.
Of course. And that falls on the same thing with religion, you know. The big thing that I've always heard is like, well, you know, you talk about the Big Bang or you talk about all this other stuff. Well, where did that start? You know, it had to be a God that started this and put everything in motion. Well, no, not necessarily. Then where did God come from? And well, if you say, well, he's always been around.
Well, what they debuted as a God back then... Shit, you and me do every day. We could be viewed as gods back then.
Oh, I am a god, but...
Oh, no, you're not. You're a piece of shit.
Just ask my girlfriend. She'll say.
There's a reliable authority. Someone who loves you, that's a reliable authority. Because...
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, whatever.
But yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of it. It's like, you know, we could have been around forever. The Big Bang could have been going on, you know, millions of times and we never noticed it. You know, we don't, our minds don't comprehend that. Awkward silence again.
Well, I mean, yeah, biblical times, the same deal. You know, they're describing things that their minds couldn't comprehend.
Right.
So... they chalked it up to God. You know, I'm not saying God doesn't exist. I'm saying there's multiple out there. Like I said, you know, you had the different pantheons out there. You had the Greeks. You had the Babylonians. You know, all those ancient cultures, and they all had a God belief system, and they all involved a Holy Trinity, one that was a, like a fallen angel. They all mesh up from all different parts of the world, and parts of the world that didn't have contact with other parts of the world, yet all their stories kind of combine together and come out the same. And that's not to say that, you know, what they experienced was actually God.
Right.
Again,
and I mean, that's a good point, too. You know, we hear about all them stories, and, you know, we laugh when we think the mythology, you know, Mount Olympus and Zeus and all this stuff. In another 2,000-3,000 years, are people going to read, you know, the Bible and say, well, that's, you know, a funny little story that people used to believe, you know?
They're starting to do that now.
Right. And, I mean, you look at the Bible, it's, you know, 66 books, and supposedly, you know, another thing they always pointed out, they're like, well, if you look at the prophecies from the Old Testament to the New, and you start figuring in all the stuff they said about Jesus, then, you know, there's like a 1 in a trillion chance that this one guy would ever be born and do what he did. But it's like, there could have been, you know, thousands of other books out there that said exactly the opposite, but they left those out of the Bible. They picked and choose the one so to make it look like that.
Well, and I've had this debate with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she brings up, you know, my belief system or whatever, and I'm like, well, you know, you place, and Christians place all their faith in one book that's 2,000 years old, that's been manipulated and changed time and time again by whoever the rulers are at that time, and it's always changed to favor who's the ruler at the time. And we got in a huge argument about tithing and shit the other week, and, you know,
I mean, it's a money-making scheme, that's
for
all it is.
For all we know, you know, one of the translations, they threw that in there to get more money into the church or get more money into the kingdom or whatever, because most of the time, whatever the ruling kingdom is, you know, be it England or Rome or whatever, they had a church that backed the political system. And so anything that was tithing, giving your 10% extra over whatever they were taxed, that's an extra 10% that the government was making because the church and the government worked hand in hand.
And one of the things you got to think about, too, is back in the day, you know, a church wasn't as big as what they are nowadays. So, you know, you're tithing 10%, that was, you know, basically enough to keep the church running. Nowadays, you tithe 10%, that guy's a millionaire.
You're getting churches that, back then, you had a church that maybe had 25, 30 people to its congregation, and there were churches dotted all over the place, and and that went to run the church. That went to feed the clergy, and them to help the poor and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, now you get into these mega churches.
Thousands of people, and it's, you know, that's a lot of money coming in.
Yeah, you know, like the one we went to there for a while at Grace in Goshen, they had 3 services. And the morning and middle service, they actually had to have an overflow because they filled up the freaking auditorium. There were so many people. You're talking probably 1,400 to 1,600 people a week going in there.
Easily.
And you figure
probably half will tithe.
I'd say probably about 2/3, because they were able to, because they do missionary work, and they have a couple orphanages over there. And I know when I was going there, they talked about building another orphanage, and it was going to cost them like $40,000 to do it, and it took them 2 weeks to raise $40,000. That's something right there. And you're figuring 2/3 of them, you know, and that just goes to show what kind of leverage a fucking a church can have. You know, and
or
that's
not just a church, like the Pope or anybody.
14 to, well, I'm just saying one church. Right. One church and one community. One church in Goshen. Goshen probably has fucking 300 churches. And one decent-sized church in there was able to raise $40,000 in 2 weeks. And no one probably batted an eye about it. You know, and religion, I think at one point, the churches were a good thing. Kind of like unions were a good thing. And now they've just outgrown their use.
Right.
And they've gotten so big, and the religions are used to control people.
Right, and they change.
And it doesn't matter if it's Christian, Muslim, it doesn't matter
what it is.
We're talking religion in general. They're just, they're to control people, keep the masses under control.
And that's another thing, I mean, tying back into, you know, work stuff. You know, everybody says, you know, you got to go to church and you got to, you know, hear the preacher preach and all this stuff.
No, you don't.
You're supposed to. I mean, that's what the Bible says. You're supposed to gather and worship and do all this stuff. But it's a book. Once you read the book, you don't have to keep telling me over and over the same thing. Same thing at work. You know, you don't have to tell us over and over again. Hell, we got it. We know what we're doing. Let us go.
I read it all the way through twice.
Yeah. Let us go. You know?
Shit, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I got 9 different Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are copies because I took them from church. But I, you know, I've got King James translation. I've got New World Translation. I've got like 3-4 different translations.
Mm-hmm.
And each translation, when you read certain parts of it, it reads completely different because mm-hmm. they've changed the words around.
And I mean, that's what they do. I mean, I remember when I first started going to church, it was like, you know, gays and homosexuals, that was, you couldn't do that. It's bad. No, hell no. Nowadays, you know, the church, even the same church I used to go to as a kid, they let them in. They, you know, come on in, you know, we're not going to judge, you know, and all this stuff. They're changing the rules. It's like, you know, if it's supposed to be cut and dry, it should be cut and dry. You know? You read the Old Testament,
yeah,
eye for an eye.
If you look at it also, I'm trying to remember here. It speaks out against gays like 3 or 4 times mm-hmm. in the entire Bible. And yet, it speaks out against like greed like fucking 15 times or some shit like mm-hmm. that. You know? But, and the church is guilty of greed way more than anybody else.
Oh, of course.
It's
all a money-making scheme. That's all it is.
There's emphasis put on by church people on things that are considered minor in the Bible, and then they completely ignore shit that's major.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they pick and choose what they want.
Right. And like I say, it changes over time, you know? You know, it says do not kill in the Bible, yet we have wars, and they condone it. You can't use the religious thing to not get out of, you know, when they have the draft. You have to go.
Well, but it also says there'll always be wars and rumors mm-hmm. of wars, and there's nothing you can do to change that in the Bible also. So,
right, but you're not supposed to kill, so.
Well, but it also says to do what your government tells you to do, and if your country is at war, then you're supposed to go to war for your country. And it says that in the frickin' Bible.
Well, actually, yeah, if you're reading the Bible, it says, I believe it was John or whatever, Jesus told him, he's like, you know, whatever you hold on true on earth, I'll hold true in heaven. So that basically gives church the right to whatever they decide, they can dictate it.
True.
So, it's one of them loopholes they throw in there.
But again, that could have been changed in the translation to come across that way. That mm-hmm. way, you know, you had the whole revision of it, and then you had the Crusades happen.
Mm-hmm.
And just by that saying that, then the Crusades were justified, and they were justified in going over there and killing Muslims and all that kind of stuff if they didn't convert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like the frickin' government changed the Homeland Security shit that gave us an excuse to go after people
mm-hmm.
Without having to do the due process to go after them. You know, and it's basically the same thing. And it's, you have all these people that put their faith in a book. And they, you know, well, yeah, but it was inspired by God. Yeah, 2,000 years ago, and it's been corrupted since
mm-hmm.
then.
Because we don't have any of the original translations. You know, everything we've got is copies of copies of copies. You know, I think the closest one is like a third edition or something.
Yeah. Well, and I've also read versions where it's actually printed in the Hebrew, and then you get a huge concordance that goes with it, so you can translate from the Hebrew yourself,
mm-hmm.
and that is entirely different than what we read now. Entirely different. it's like watching a frickin' Japanese movie, watching it dubbed, and then watch the subtitles, and the subtitles mm-hmm. say completely,
oh yeah,
something completely frickin' different.
I love watching them do that.
Than what the dubbed version is, and the Bible's kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a dubbed version now. And it's basically the closest translation of whoever translated it, what they think it meant. And it's nothing like the original one was.
And like I've always pointed out too, you know, there's that big gap from when Jesus was like 10 or 13 up to he's 30, you know. There's got to be books, there's got to be stuff written about his life during that time. You know, where is it? That's never come to light, it's never been brought out, you know. I mean, I can almost guarantee it's the Catholic Church.
And that was one of the things that Barbara brought up too. Mm-hmm. You know, was that there are books out there, and they just...
There's some, but not a lot. Like I said, the teen years or whatever, all the way leading up, there's nothing. They got stuff from the Gospels whenever he started from 30 on up. They got, you know, the Book of Thomas and all them others, you know.
I think there are other books out there, and they're just intentionally withheld.
Yep. Like I said, I think that's a lot to do with the Catholic Church. I think and it could have been something very simple as it could disprove some of the stuff. He could have said other stuff that contradicts what was brought up before. They don't want it like that. You know, the whole, you know, priests can't marry and they can't have, you know, women can't be a priest, stuff like that. He could have turned around and said, hey, you know, that's fine, let them do it, but Catholic Church don't want that, so they're going to withhold it.
Yeah.
They've got all them, the library under the Vatican and all that stuff set up.
And this has nothing to do with our Jesus freak years. This turned into a religious conversation here. So we will get to that eventually. But
and I don't think it'll ever come out.
You started this by asking if I believed in God. But I don't think it's going to come out anytime soon. I think it eventually will.
I don't think it will. I think they got too much power. I think they'll destroy it before it comes out. And I think if they haven't already destroyed it.
No. No. The Catholic Church loves to keep records on everything. I doubt they've destroyed it. But it's probably locked up in a vault.
I'm sure it's locked up. Like
probably tighter than Fort Knox.
Yep. And like I said, well, I don't see them ever doing it unless, I mean, they've never been at war. I mean, unless you declare a war on the Vatican City or something, I mean, it's not going to come out.
Oh, even then it wouldn't.
No. I mean, there's no way. I don't even think the Pope knows everything. I think a lot of stuff's cut from them.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
I would not. But, okay, anyways.
So, yeah, I mean, my Jesus freak years, like I said, I went through, I was raised in the church, we jumped around a little bit when I was young. But ever since this new pastor came to the church that my dad goes to, we've stuck with that church. And I didn't have a problem with it. I liked it. When I was a kid, you know, it was something to do. Got to, you know, hang out with other kids. And one of the big things with that church is it was just starting up, and they did it really good. They put a big emphasis on the youth, the kids.
Right.
Because they knew that once if they get the kids hooked young, you know, once they got older, then they'd stay with the church and their kids and
it's
all
like
this.
Like Jesus crack.
Yep. And it, like I said, they did stuff with us that, you know, nowadays you'd never do. I mean, we went and played paintball, we went canoeing, we did rappelling down the side of a mountain, we did climbed up a cliff, you know, zip lines, we did all that stuff. And we, you know, like I said, nowadays you all know insurance and all this legal stuff, you'd never do that.
Yeah. The good old days.
Mm-hmm. Had a great youth pastor, Pastor Scott. He was one of the best out there. He got us all, you know, excited about the stuff.
Back when you could do dangerous, stupid shit and not get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, when we went down the zip line, it was down the side of this mountain. And at one point, you were a good 40, 50 feet off the ground. Yeah, I see the spider climbing up. You're a good 40, 50 feet off the ground. You're not tied in it. You're holding on to the zip line. When you got to the bottom, you were still 10, 15 feet off the ground. You had to let go. We had two people down there to catch you at the bottom.
Yeah.
So, and my fat ass. And the old rope over the water. You'd swing out over the water 10, 20 feet up in the air and let go and fall in the water over the lake.
Oh, yeah.
You used to do all that stuff. Yeah.
In the river. But see, I wasn't raised up with church. My parents didn't start going to church and become Catholic until after I left in the military. So I was kind of raised behind it. And that's when I started, dabbled a little bit in the occult, started reading on the occult and shit back in my early teen years. I never stopped. So I probably got about 30 years worth of studying all that kind of shit under my belt. So, you fucking freaky people out there, don't fuck with me.
And that was the other thing,
swallow your soul.
Okay, everyone, we're going to go ahead and put a pin in it right here and stop for this week. I apologize for it being a kind of a short episode, but when we were recording this, we got kind of interrupted just after about an hour and 15 minutes or so. Since we don't have too many banked up anymore, I decided to go ahead, instead of just doing one long one, to go ahead and split this up. Join us next week as we continue talking about not only our Jesus freak years, but also our bucket list. Should be a whole lot of fun. Make sure you check us out. We are on iTunes and on Stitcher. Just look up the Kurt and Jeff Show. We are also on Facebook. You can find our page, just The Kurt and Jeff Show. And you can check us out online on WordPress at thekurtandjeffshow.com. Thanks again. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have fun. Climbing a mountain that keeps getting high. I'm playing a game where no one's supposed to win.